See, I won't have any shame at looking at the time because I always want to be looking over my shoulder to see it when I'm recording. Yeah.
Why?
Hello, my name's Nick.
Hello, Nick. We are at episode 50 of the Chattering Classes. I'm going to give myself a round of applause. And I'm sitting on the floor, Nick Maniandis' house, where we recorded episode 1, maybe in the exact same spot.
Pretty close to it.
So 2013 that was. So as I've said many times, I'm prolific. 50 episodes in under 6 years. I'm pretty happy with that. And it was Easter, and now it's nearly Christmas. Isn't that amazing? No, got nothing.
That first episode, it was fun.
Yeah.
To do.
And it was probably really intense, though. I think
it was.
If you listen back to it, it's pretty intense. Now, the first question I wanted to ask you, Nick, is: are you a left brain or right brain person?
That's a nice start.
Yeah.
Would you like to explain what my answer is?
I don't know. It's more than likely you're going to bring up the OECD report that debunks right and left brain. So that was a little joke there, what I did there. Because Nick hates pseudoscience, and as teachers, we get it all the time, don't we?
Yeah, all the time.
People get up and go, I'm a left brain thinker, and we need to focus on these areas of the brain. It's one of my favorite things about teaching.
I know it's usually every 3 or 4 years that somebody new will come through and say stuff.
Right.
And I just like...
You mean just a new teacher that doesn't know you're going to say, shut up?
I'm much politer than that.
Yeah.
But I do print out the OECD thing because that's the quickest way. Like, none of those things are not true. So, all those things... And there's just more evidence since they've released as neuromyth?
Yes, there's lots of neuromyths.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was in a meeting with a principal, or like a staff meeting, where we were going to learn something about the brain, and she said to me, oh, do you like these kinds of training? And I said, I don't mind them. I said, what I really don't like is when someone gets up and tries to explain the complexity of the human brain to me for dummies or something like that. Like, it's really watered down, because how is anyone... They're all theories. No one knows. It's really complex, you know? We know more about the universe than we do about the brain, all this stuff.
Mm.
And she was like, okay. And then, of course, the person gets up to talk about neuroplasticity. And people, what I've found is whenever someone gets excited and says, does this mean?
Yeah.
The answer's always yes. Like, oh, does this mean when I learn a language, like after a few years, I can't remember it anymore because it's got replaced with new information? Yes. And everyone goes, oh, and then they just move on. I don't think that's true at all.
That's not how the pairing of dendrites and the axons and everything is.
No, it's all theory. It gets watered down. So that was why it was my first question. My other question is, why haven't we done this in like 3.5 years?
Is it really 3.5 years?
Yeah, I
guess I've had those side ones. I've popped in on
the
side.
Yeah, you've been guests several, but it wasn't that I was like, oh, you know, I have to do one with Nick. It was, when I look back, there were like 5 or 6 in the first 30 episodes or something that was just me and you.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I was going to interview someone else, but they never got back to me. Oh, we'll just ring Nick. So, but 3.5 years. What's going on?
My son's about to start high school next year.
Hmm.
That passage of time has gone from little primary school kid to high school. Right. It's pretty exciting.
I was going to ask you a few questions about that, actually. Is it exciting that he... What's the excitement level like? Because your kids are like... Well, Thomas is a couple of years ahead of Violet, so I'm always interested in how he's going.
I think he's quietly excited, but nervous. It's just...
Transition.
Yeah, I'm talking... It's just reminded me of my high school transition stuff.
Right.
Just like realizing where you are. That headspace of unknown and stuff.
Right. So you, when you say you're remembering or like thinking about your, do you mean as a teacher or when you were
when I was a student.
So you're thinking back to that.
Yeah.
Right.
And I remember very clearly.
But it's the same even as an adult when you change schools as a teacher or change a workplace. Mm. And when you first go to it, like if you think of your memory of that first place, it's not, it doesn't even, maybe this is not normal, but it doesn't seem like the same layout.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you have like a different, when you get there, you're trying to remember where everything is.
Yeah, so you can get out.
Yeah, you can get out. Or, as I know from you, if the zombies attack,
yes,
what's the best way to get on the roof and escape? But as someone who's like, whose kid's about to start high school, I mean, it's interesting that you talk about thinking about your own experience because my first response or my questions were going to be, are you thinking about what you know about a year seven starting school, or is it like a lot of things with parenting, it's sort of mature kid?
I haven't the stuff about thinking about a year seven and I'm not, I haven't applied any of my experience to thinking about that stuff,
right?
Because some kids will get it and some kids won't. Sometimes not those like, I know they might have, you know, kids in the class with them that they just don't get on with, and you know, and it's bigger classes and all that kind of stuff. But
yeah,
but at base level, I've got a good friendship group going there, and
right, yeah, this again will surprise you, but I think I overthink those kinds of things of like, oh, what do I need to be prepared for when my kids start high school?
Mm.
Especially that first, you know, 6 months of high school, whatever high school it is pretty challenging and pretty, I think, fairly draining for students as well.
Mm.
But I always think like, oh, what advice can I provide? But that's never works.
No.
Advice never works.
But there's the other, I think, being the parent of someone going to high school, I'm super excited to hear what kids think of high school from their mouths.
Right.
And that's, having Thomas tell me and talk to me about stuff will be more convincing than me talking to my year seven students. I mean, that's not a surprise because of the relationship and stuff that we've got, but.
Do you think it might inform your teaching?
Maybe.
You know, like, do you get, like, if you've got, I mean, again, this is people we're speculating, but when you've got kids who are in high school, they're coming to you or talking to you, hopefully, about stuff that's happening, and you go, oh, right, I get a bit more understanding of what that's. I think I found just having kids has made me appreciate not so much what the students are doing, but really what's going through the parents.
Yeah.
You know? Because when you don't have kids and your parents are like freaking out about what you perceive to be small things, or you say to a parent, you know, just give it time. Just give it time.
Yes.
You know, oh yeah, they're going through a difficult period, but in like a couple of months, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
But then when you're the parent and the child's crying every night.
Yeah, a couple of months.
A couple of months is not solving it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I remember just thinking, you know, you have these students and they're having difficulty with the friendship groups, and then the head of English comes in and says, we're moving them out of this class. And you're like,
yes,
that's the wrong idea. They're going to learn resilience. They're going to get through this problem and then be stronger for it. Can't you see that? This is short-sightedness. And then you're a parent and you're like, maybe this would be better if they were just moved to a different class. That changes the problem.
Yeah.
And that gets rid of the problem immediately. You're like, all right, that's been a really big difference.
I've seen that happen lots.
You've seen that happen? Like,
yeah, across multiple schools.
Yeah. But have you ever thought that, ever realised that in your own parenting, where you're like, I've got a solution to this, which is short term, but it helps my child? Or do you have the ability to have that long term, like, yes, you're struggling now, but in a few months, like as a parent, that's pretty...
We have conversations with the kids about longer-term stuff and how to manage, so if it's whatever issue it might be.
Yeah.
About teaching the school, teaching the skills to deal with that stuff. And yeah, try and just think a little bit beyond the moment.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to be there for kids as well when they're
yeah.
distressed and need you.
Yeah.
So you can do that kind of thing as well.
They don't really like being given advice.
No. Well, do you like being given advice?
Yes. Yes, I do. I like it a lot.
I think maybe I
maybe play this back to Justine.
Yes.
And see what she says. She may think that's not true at all. But I professionally, yes. And generally, yes. But I wonder if in the family unit, I wonder if I'm pointed in the right direction or something suggested to me. Maybe I don't respond with like, oh, that's going to build my character. Good-o, I shall do that. So I wonder if that's a difference. I was going to bring this up. You know, we're bouncing around all over the place. But about the podcast in general.
Yes.
I'll make this about me. Why not? I find the hardest thing about making this podcast, because it's 50 and I've enjoyed it and I love it. And this is not that. It's not like, and I'm bowing out because that's not happening. I'm going to do hopefully 51 next week. But the hardest thing is listening back and listening back and hearing me say things that aren't me lying, but I don't believe. Does that make sense?
I hate you. That's the meta conversation going on in my head the whole
all
time.
All the time.
Yeah.
Like when we record? Or
yes,
just
while we're recording.
I was going to say.
There's already been multiple things I've said and thought, if I had another go.
I'll ask people that have been on the show, if they've listened back, do they say that?
Yeah.
Because that's the hardest thing. You're like, oh, why did you say that? That sounded like a good thing to say. Why don't you just shut up and listen to people? And that's the other thing too. And maybe doing this podcast, as I'm talking a lot, has really helped me listen. Because the other thing listening back is, especially in the, I'm more in the earlier episodes, is when I was doing, we'll play this song and we'll talk about this song. People were about to tell me something. And you can tell when
yes.
you listen back.
Yes.
You're like, oh, they've just remembered something, or they're about to go a step deeper than what they were.
Yeah.
And then I've gone, all right. There's a little lull in the
yes.
a pause. And then I go, all right, we'll move on to the next. And when I listen back, I'm like, shit. And that's why I stopped doing all that songs or films and stuff like that, because it allows me to be like, all right, oh, that was interesting. And then.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm doing less and less of having things prepared. Maybe that's a problem. But having less and less things prepared so I can, yeah, when you listen and go, oh, there's no direction that this needs to go.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Did you listen to that Gimlet podcast Without Fail?
Yeah, with Ira.
With Ira Glass and Alex Bloomberg.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, the creator of This American Life.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that was like over 20 years old.
Mm.
Did it on just terrestrial radio and then got bigger and bigger. And but yeah, his work ethic is ridiculous. I was listening to it going, oh, like the amount of work that goes into just making that every week, the amount of hours that go into it.
The part of the conversation where they talk about Ira Glass's, what are the sheets that he does?
Right.
The edits? I don't know.
Yes.
What they're, the audio edits or something? I don't know.
Yeah, I knew like that. That was pretty intense, wasn't it?
Footnoted annotations, take that sound out, point two here, point one
yeah,
there.
Yeah, point two pause. Add point two pause. I was just like, I know exactly what that is. It's just letting whatever, if someone says something and you've talked over the top of it, it's just.
You want to give that pause back.
Just a little, it's 0.2 of a second. And you go, yeah, that's it. That's the pause. The difference between what I do here is just recording a conversation and making a podcast. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the difference is I'll just add 0.2 of a second. So then the person listening goes, oh, and then they're on to the, it's like, fuck.
Yeah.
I've wasted my life, Ira. Damn you.
I like the editing part of things of all.
Yeah.
At the end, I like once you've got the raw material, like when I was animating, I loved the editing afterwards.
Man, do you mean for like the last 5.5 years I could have got you to do the editing?
No. I can't listen back to my voice or other people's. I'll freak out.
What?
The amount of work that I did just cutting and pasting bits of the Oz Wallace conference together for the Great Concavity.
Yeah.
Concavity podcast. Yeah.
Yeah.
You won't cover that bit up. And it was great to be able to like record snippets of all the people that presented, or almost all of them.
Yeah.
But then I had that in, I don't know, 50, 60 audio files across two different devices because I was using different audio sources. And
yeah. Just to clarify, Nick went to this Oz Wallace convention.
Oh, yes.
Last year?
I think
we talked about it on the podcast we did with Duncan.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Which was just a conference about David Foster Wallace, and Nick interviewed people. Was it during dinner or in the function? And some of it was very informal, some of it was really formal. There was a recorded like discussion about it, and then he had to edit it all together and put it on the Great Concavity podcast. If you like David Foster Wallace, listen to that.
Hey, that's a nice plug.
Thank you.
But it drove me mad.
Right.
And you know, I'd record conversations with people, and then we had discussions afterwards. They're like, do we need to have all of that bit in?
Right.
Which is, I'd much rather somebody come up and tell that to me rather than. But then it was, you know, there were a number of conversations, 5 or 6, where it's like, no, that bit doesn't need to be part of it.
Right.
And that's not related to this bit at all. But then, hang on, how much am I editing this?
Yeah.
But usually it was just kind of I we were at the AFL women's game or something.
Yeah.
And I had the recorder. And we started talking, and then I'd go, oh, by the way, I'm recording this. So, right. You know, there's that other layer. So okay, I just wanted to be meticulous and go through, but they're the two different things.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm not meticulous at all. I go through and I listen maybe all of it, but a lot of times I don't.
I can understand that.
Which is probably a problem for people who are listening if things go wrong or the sound drops out or people shout all of a sudden when they're – and that's something I try and change. But like it's been the thing that's weird about doing this and doing the other podcast, doing the Water Power Trousers podcast, the thing that's weird and it still freaks me out that people listen to this. I don't even know how many people download it. I've never asked you.
Since we looked at them, we should have a look at another.
Yeah, we might have a look at it after this. I've never looked at download figures. But just the fact that people listen in different who don't know me, freaks me out, you know. And that people I've since become friends with online, just because they listen to it, and they listen to it and send me a message like, oh yeah, I like the new episode, or let me know, give me feedback. And it's like 2 or 3 people the world still freaks me out. Like when you make it and you go, all right. People who know me and Nick, do you want to listen to me and Nick having a conversation? Maybe for 5 minutes to see what the hell I'm doing. But just it's odd, and I don't understand. I can't quite place that. I can't quite work that out. That people listen to it. I don't know what that is from other countries. It just, I don't know. Is
it's
that
pretty
weird?
Cool.
I know, but
no, I think
I know what
awesome.
A podcast is. I listen to so many a week. But it's still to make one and then go, oh, I'm just going to do it and then have people listen to it is weird.
That's what kept me going with the Howling Pantods for years and years and years. My website about Dave Foster Wallace. Better tack that in case this is the first time.
More
listening.
Plugs in this episode more plugs than I used.
Which I'm not updating very regularly right now.
Right,
I'm focusing on Twitter stuff and working with Dave Foster Wallace Society things. But there was, in those early years, the first 4 or 5 years, when I was getting linked to and from big newspapers in the US or people would contact you for a comment for some article or whatever. That felt kind of nice, and it also felt completely fraudulent. Why are they trusting me?
Why are they trusting me? Because I know all my insecurities and
things
I do wrong. Right. So just having any kind of attention from, is it just that it's other parts of the world or just from people who don't know you?
It's people that don't know me is what
that
makes
engagement.
It.
And when you went to the Oz Wallace convention, did most people know you by name? I mean, like, most people there know of the site or
everybody I talked to? I think did.
Right.
It's kind of that, that's that other awkward thing as well. Like, I'm there because I'm this and it's in my country, but also am I the weird,
so
weird
did you think
reporter what, in a corner of the room?
I was going to say, yeah. when you were there, did you think I shouldn't be here?
No.
Right.
No. The thing...
But what about, what I maybe to qualify that, not when you were there, because
yeah.
you're there learning
yeah,
all this stuff about Wells and that's awesome, but when did you have an interview or like a session there, or was it informal or?
No, I purposely was going to help out Tony, who was a conference organizer.
Right.
And of course we were cross promoting to make it as big as it could be and have people from international guests come in as well as locals and everything. So that was awesome.
Yeah.
But it's like, that's where I need to be. Fraudulence about being there at the place.
Right.
So I couldn't present papers like they could. I know I can't.
Yeah, but did you present, or were you on a panel at the New York Writers Festival?
Nope. At the Sydney Writers Festival, I was on a panel thing. And I think moderated a panel at the Footnotes Conference in New York.
So this is one of the things we didn't get to when we talked about it with Duncan that I wanted to talk to you about was, so you've got this website and it's David Foster Wallace related. He said, I'll use the cliche, like if you had have gone back when you started the site and said, because of this website,
yeah.
you will get to go to this conference in New York.
No.
Like, I guess it didn't, if I had have said it to you like a week before you were invited, would you have believed it?
But it's, I mean, that one, like once, they are small conferences. I didn't
need
to get invited.
Yeah, what I want to ask you about is, how do you handle successes in your life?
Not well, I just don't tell people and don't talk about it.
Right.
And I tell my family and super close friends, but then no one else.
But how do you tell your friends and family? Like, do you go, hey, I got this award?
What I usually do, for at least for this specific example, is I throw short stories of David Foster Wallace on their desk,
right.
which is what I did for you.
Right, that's
And
right.
that's often how it starts.
Yeah.
And
then, by the way, I run this site.
I wish I could do it that easily.
No, I know, but like that's what you mean. But I mean, like,
I'm super nervous that if people know the website and they connect that I'm the dude that's has been running this for a long time.
Yeah.
And is it weird that somebody's been running a website for 20 years about the one subject? And
do you really have that thought?
Yeah.
Have you been on the internet before?
Yeah.
Like that's what, isn't that what the internet's
about?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
The only reason that makes it unusual is that it's for 20 years. But that's not that unusual because in like 10 years' time, there'll be millions of people who have been running websites for 20 years.
That's true.
You were just there early.
Mm.
Is it weird? I don't know. No? Yes? No, I don't know.
Conferences or get-togethers or things that I've been to, it's the loveliest part about them and also the bit that makes me self-loathe completely, which is saying they've been reading the website for years and that's where they went for their news and updates and all that kind of stuff, where, you know, there wasn't other social media to fill those spaces, so that was it, and getting emails from people on the list.
I'm sorry I'm smiling so much because I'm genuinely excited to hear how you're turning this into self-loathing.
Because it's that whole, you don't show off your successes in Australia, right?
But they're not,
or anywhere.
You're not showing it off. People are coming to you and saying,
I know, it's just...
So people coming to you and saying, thank you.
Yeah.
And I appreciate it. And this is what it's done for me.
It's so awesome.
It makes you
feel
awesome.
And then like, ugh.
And then you're like, I don't deserve
that. Yeah.
I get that. That makes sense.
And I don't know, you and I both think about this kind of stuff all the time. There's a big component of how could we have done that? How could I have done that better? How could I have written that better? How could I have...
Right.
But then, and so that's happened lots with the website. There's times I've just written things that are just dumb or linked somewhere that just really wasn't appropriate or I shouldn't have done.
Right.
Like in hindsight... Yep. But then my policy for my website is I only edit for typos or new material.
Do you find this sort of raking over your own personal goals, for want of a better expression, do you do that with personal relationships too?
Yeah.
I know the answer already, but like, is that... I know
the answer already.
For the listeners' benefit, but do you find that that you can't let go of your own failings much harder than letting go of other people's?
And it then makes it more difficult for other people as well, because I'm there being the self-loathing, it's right. my fault, but I'm upset about it.
Hmm. Do you throw that back on other people?
No.
No? That's good.
That's good. That felt like I was like, you have passed the test.
You have, well, yeah. That's a step ahead of me. Right. So what I want to get back to is your... So this idea that any success, and you know, this is goes for everyone. You know, everyone succeeds, everyone has failures, everyone has successes, and it's I like obviously having successes, but it, like you said, it does make it. You go, oh great, I got that success. Did I deserve it?
Yes.
I got success from something I didn't put 100% into.
Mm-hmm.
How does that make me feel?
Yeah.
I'm sure that's what a lot of people go through, is they go, yay, and imposter syndrome.
Like, yeah.
Oh, thank you for my award, but I don't deserve this. But you can't say I don't deserve this.
No, you can't.
So you just have to think it and, you know, chew it down, push it down. But even like recently, I don't know if it was this year or last year, I sent you a message that was like, have you ever won any like like any teaching awards?
Oh, yeah.
And your answer was yes.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? And you were like, yeah. Was it a couple?
So I got one in my second or third year of teaching for being one of the new educators of the year or something.
So this is ACT Teaching Awards. Yeah.
And I didn't win.
Right.
That was a nice thing on the people there.
Yeah, of course.
I got nominated for Outstanding Contribution to Educational Leadership or something. That was by the Deputies and Principals
All right.
Association thing. And it was for stop motion animation things I have delivered at the school and was doing IT programs with senior citizens near there as well, right. And they were coming to the school, and so there was a sort of a combination of that kind of stuff that, you know, I was like able to teach, you know, from the kids at our school through to people outside the community and sort of incorporate that IT stuff with communication skills,
right.
Which I think that's a strength that I have when I don't talk too quickly.
Right. I'm going to backtrack there.
Mm.
You taught elderly people?
Yeah.
When was it?
So when Ginninderra
District High School.
That's what I
mean by
school.
Nick doesn't like talking about things that he's done well. Okay.
Yeah, it was Ginninderra District High, and there's a retirement village right near there.
Right.
And now that's that it's now the Kingston Smith School. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
I've totally lost my train of thought.
You were teaching old people.
Oh, far out! Thank you.
That's a good pause.
That's a good pause. I can't quite remember how it started up, but the school did want to build some networks with the retirement village,
right.
And I think part of that was kids going and visiting and stuff. But we wanted to then sort of be able to do things for them with our IT stuff, and so I think we had about I wrote 5 or 6 weeks of just our long, or maybe it's an hour and a half of like learning to use a mouse and keyboard and stuff. And they were, none of them knew how to use computers.
Right.
So, no, that's not true. But, you know, to be a computer literate, even back when that was, however many years ago that was, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
It was a huge logistical jump.
Yeah.
And I just loved it. It was so much fun. I remember when I realized that they didn't mind being teased, the senior citizens, that hang on, that actually makes it way more fun. Okay,
So you can tease them about...
Oh, yeah, about like...
Not being able to use
move the mouse up. So lift it up off the thing. It's like, that's right. No, I mean push it... Move up the screen, push it away from you. When Brown bring it towards you. So kind of that, like having to get step back.
That is like, to think about is like, oh, there was a time people didn't know how to...
Yes.
You had to learn how to use a mouse. Wow.
Yeah, and it was fun. It was really good fun.
Wow.
And the program, it might have been three terms. I'm not sure exactly how long we ran that for. But when the program stopped happening,
yeah,
I still would get occasional phone calls from some of the people out there and go and help them fix their computers and that stuff.
What were the problems with the computers? Were they like...
Viruses.
Yeah.
Lots and lots clicking of viruses.
Clicking on things they shouldn't be clicking on.
Mostly just viruses.
Right.
And, yeah, so I just go in my little stick and get all those and get it all up and running again. And
far out.
I think I actually, and for one guy, I even took him to the computer markets and bought a computer with him.
Right.
Yeah, and then helped him install it in his little unit thing.
Shit. You made old people computer literate. You made them able to like communicate with their grandchildren and annoy them by typing their name at the end of every message in case you didn't know it was from them.
It was fun. That was actually really, that was, but that's something I couldn't do now with the family.
No, I was going to say,
there's a lot of things that's why young teachers, that's why it's important to acknowledge young teachers because
they've got the energy.
Yeah.
And the motivation and they can do lots of stuff at once, some of them, you know. But the motivated ones,
absolutely.
They can. And they often say, this needs to be changed. And you're like, all right, go and do it. Well, I don't. I don't have the power. I say that to them, but then they go and do it and get in trouble. But so when you're now, you know, how many years you've been teaching for?
This is my, it'll be my 20th year next year.
Really?
Because I started in 2000. Yeah. So 2019 is 20
years. I was like, wow, that's crazy. But I started in 2001, so it's not that crazy.
Yeah.
Shit. All right.
That's a big, yeah. Well, that's.
So what, how do you stop yourself or how do you not be a shitty teacher?
It doesn't always work.
Uh-huh.
There are some days where.
Oh, well, some days, yeah. But I mean, in general, it's the end of the school year. You look back on the school year you've had and there's going to be like shitty bits.
Yes.
So how, what do you do or how do you avoid? Because if you've been teaching 20 years or this long, it's easy and in any job to phone it in.
Yeah.
And you can do that some days.
Yeah.
You're not feeling well, the kids, there's issues at home, there's other issues, there's life issues that are on your mind, so you're not 100% present. And so you can sort of, you got the skills to get by, but how do you, is there anything that you look at if you look back on your year and go, oh, I'm slipping in this part or what do I need to do?
I mean, I'm very good at setting up classes at the end of assignments and doing like little conferences with all the kids because I'd much rather look at a rubric and talk about it and give them that extra couple of minutes rather than the skin down the written feedback stuff.
Yeah.
But in doing that, it means that it takes longer for the kids to get their work.
Right.
And I've been doing this long enough that if they say, where are they? I'm like, well, they're not done yet.
Okay.
You know, like when it's sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes and they'll be like, oh, okay, cool. Like,
yeah.
But I wish I was able to do that turnaround more quickly.
Yeah.
And I'm just not.
No.
I don't accept it in myself because then I would just give up every year. I'd just.
What do you mean?
Like, I know that marking, feedback, getting all that, the time frame within that happens. I'm trying to diplomatically put this.
Don't be diplomatic. I don't want diplomacy on this.
I could be giving kids more feedback.
Yeah.
And. I always wish I was, but I just can't physically do it. And so I feel terrible when I reach the limit of that. Because once I've reached my limit, I'm like, nothing, I'm not going to provide anything more constructive.
Yep.
And so
what's missing out.
Right.
But then often the feedback I get from students at the end of the year was, thank you for teaching and you taught us well.
Yeah.
So they even use that kind of language. It's not just about we learned stuff, but you taught well.
I've got a good mark, thanks.
Yeah.
That's what a lot of students say. Right. Well, how do you keep the passion?
It's much harder to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I still don't mind working to school all day. That's moving around and talking to people all day is great.
No two days are the same.
Yep. And I need to be not sitting down. So no. Walking around is quite good.
You need to be not sitting down.
Probably only maybe in the last 10 years or so of teaching that I realised that, no, hang on a tick, it's like being able to move when I want to throughout the day.
Right.
I hate it when I have to sit in a chair for a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure most people do, but I feel this intense. That's why I'm always wiggling in chairs. I can never sit the same way. I can't get comfortable.
It's to surprise you, but I feel the exact same way. maybe I should just clip that and just play it whenever I need to say it. But yeah, it's true. Like the college thing is the students finish and you've got 4 weeks of putting data and collecting data and marking and all that stuff, and it drives me crazy. And that's what I realize is, oh, it's because 2 days in a row are the same. That makes me physically stressed.
Yes.
I haven't done much work.
Yeah.
Or I have done a lot of work, but it's not the work I want to do. And you even see it when the students come back in, either get results or they come in for 1 day to get feedback. You're just like, oh, I feel great. Like, that was a great day. It's more energized because sitting at a desk isn't for us, right? That's not why we're...
No, it's not why we're there.
And we're English teachers, so we like talking about all manner of things.
Yes, yeah.
Whatever, this idea of what a text is makes it very easy to talk about anything they're looking at and just annoy them by deconstructing whether it's a meme or a song or a film.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, once they take that away, it's a weird school, a weird environment.
Yes.
And like, if you just sit there and write reports all day, you lose your mind.
The other thing that keeps me going with teaching is, and this is every teacher's story.
Yeah.
You'll have a lesson that just went so well that you're on a high afterwards.
Yeah.
And then you think back and go, I haven't had one of those for about 2 months. Or the last one I had one of those was this class, but 3 weeks ago. And I don't get them every day. Not even super regularly.
Is there something that you go, I haven't had that for a while. Is there something you can do to generate?
Yeah, sometimes. Yes.
Because I'm the same. Sometimes you're like, and I found that I had one class this year where I was like, oh, at the end of the term, I was like, this class isn't going well and I don't think they like the course. And so I just put my head down and was like, all right, I'm designing the last whatever it was, 5 weeks, I'm going in swinging. And that's what happens with when you've been teaching for so long, you forget. You just go, oh, I'm just going to coast. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I've coasted too long. I've got to get them back. And so you've got to go back to the drawing board. It's weird. I don't know what the analogy is of going in swinging, but that's what it's like. You go in like, all right, you motherfuckers, I'm here. I'm going to teach the shit out of this lesson. Like, it's sometimes that is that attitude.
Yes.
Yeah. That you forget because it can be like, all right, I've done this before. Yeah. I know how this goes. But you've got to like go, all right.
It's like your workflow stuff.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
It's like, here I am. Okay, it's not working now. We need more of that.
Yeah, I need to change it up.
I mean, that's it. Yeah, I guess I do. Maybe not the exact phrase, change it up. But you realize, hang on, we've been doing this I know we need to do it. I know the endpoint's going to be great. Yeah. But no, let's do a random lesson here.
Yeah.
Just to make it a little bit odd.
Yeah.
That stuff's fun.
Students freak out. I like freaking out students, of course. Yeah. But I like going in and just going, changing the attitude in the class with a bit more. It's intent.
Yeah.
And that's a sporting term is that I always use in sport. But intent in teaching is, in any job, is like you get stale. And so you just go, right, I've got to change my intent. I've got to do something different. And I always look to do something different every year. Do a course I haven't done
yet.
completely different text, completely study completely different things, just because it makes you go, oh, I've got to be fresh about my thinking.
Yes,
And then see where the class goes. But anyway, that's a totally, totally separate option. I don't know how we got to there. Have you taken notes?
Yes. This is twice I've missed this, and I'm coming back to it because I when I heard that bit, made me think of something. I was like, man, if I throw that at Matt in the podcast, that could be funny. So back to, so it's the Without Fail podcast, Alex Bloomberg interviewing Ira Glass, who used to be his boss, et cetera, et cetera. And then when they had this little exchange about criticisms of each other or what they saw in that podcast creation stuff, it's like, oh, if Matt asked me that, I'd have one thing to say.
What was the question?
So
what, like criticize?
Yeah,
what's your criticism of me as a person?
No, as of the podcast. Of the podcast. Right, not question. It's the behavior, not the child.
Today's the behavior, not the child. Good asking questions, Nick. Okay, so what is the one criticism you would have?
Can you guess?
No.
Ah, okay. It's something that doesn't bug me enough for it to be a problem, because this part of your podcast that I think is lacking is it's not holding it back.
Okay.
So it's the audio.
Right.
But like, we're on laptop computers and USB microphones and whatever, but it's, yeah, there are sometimes I think he's compressed it a bit too much there.
Oh.
Right. But I'm like, it's still perfectly audible to go back and say, change that. No, if I was editing it, that's why I want to edit your podcast as well. So cutting things together and then doing the audio levels, the whole thing, like the whole
making
thing.
That perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. That you probably, if you went all the way back, the probably first few, the levels are pretty good. And then I got very, I got very bored with doing that.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
And then, but once again, it's like, it's one of these criticisms that you're not,
I don't even know what you mean when you say compressing.
Like, you, when you're deciding what audio format to put it in,
right,
if you're playing with the MP3, depending on what the levels are before you encode it, then
you could have told me that in like episode one, because it's always on the same settings.
I could have
changed it.
I could have told you, but
it would have been a bigger file, though, right?
Yeah, yeah, they're all kind. Yeah,
this is fascinating for the listener, I'm sure. But yeah, that's right. It should be. This is.
No, I mean, initially I was worried about bandwidth.
Okay.
But now the bandwidth on my site, like everything, just you pay the same amount and you get like, pfft. So.
Masses of it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe this episode will be like, whoa, they've got new systems.
Reverb and like, you can, are they in a concert hall now? Ooh.
Yeah. Can we put the crowd? Can we get a crowd in? I don't know. Probably not.
Yeah. I'm always nervous about. I mean, I think I'm quite careful with what I say on the podcast. And if I'm saying anything that is purposely ridiculous, then I don't care that people know that opinion that I hold. But there have been times on this podcast where I've been like,
that's a good point,
I'm not going there.
Right. Really? Yep. Can you think of one offhand?
No, not offhand. But that certainly happened.
Like, it's interesting that you bring that up, because I was just going through a few recently, bit by bit. And I did one with Stu earlier in the year. It might be episode 41. Where I talked about Louis C.K.
You talked about Louis
C.K.? Yeah, I talked about Louis C.K. with Stu, and I was talking to him and about how separating the artist from the art and what they'd done.
Yeah.
And I was saying to him, like, with someone like Louis C.K., I don't think it should stop you from watching or enjoying his stuff.
Mm.
But that was in February. It's now December, and I haven't watched any of his work. So that's what was interesting, listening back and going, here is me pontificating on something, and then it's not true.
Yeah.
You know? And that's, I think that's an issue that is in society at the moment, is people say things in the past, and then in the present people bring it up and say, and it's varying degrees of this, obviously.
Yes,
but they bring it up and they go, oh, you said this in 2013. And they don't allow the person to go, yeah, I did say that, but that's not how I feel.
Yeah.
And that's problematic.
It is.
Because I heard that like a few days ago, and I was like, oh shit, like I said this, and the way I was coming across was like, no, you can listen and you can watch and blah blah blah, but it's not true. It's clearly not true because I haven't listened or watched.
It's not true. I haven't
watched. I used to click on his YouTube links probably once a week to find if there's anything new or watch some old ones that I really like. But I haven't.
No, I haven't done it. I've.
And that's, you know, that's something where in the podcast or in any format, you say something that to yourself is like, this is how I feel. And then, any kind of perspective on it, you're like, oh, no. That's a stupid thing to say. It's like someone else said it, and I'm like, you idiot, why didn't you say that? Like, if someone else said it, you'd be like, well, that's... If someone said that to me now, I would say, yes, but blah, blah, blah,
and
counter the argument. So it's weird if at any stage I listen back and go, oh,
yeah,
I'm making all these points, but that was... Well, now, like,
it
could have been 5 years ago. It's a totally different person. Now, I have to move it on to a different angle.
Thank you.
I don't know if you're
thinking. I'm like, I was overthinking every question and then like not getting anything out. So the
wheels were going.
Yep.
I don't know when it was, this year or last year, you sent me a really good piece of advice, of husbanding advice, if I can use that, or relationship advice.
Yeah, mate.
And I'm going to get it wrong. And it was at a very simple level where I think I was asking you, like, oh, what do you do when you get in your own head too much? You get in your own head about family or friends where you think they're thinking blah blah blah. And I was like, and you were like, oh, I've spoken to someone about this, and they said, just if you like this about your wife or whoever, just ask partner them
or your friend, whatever, and
ask them. What's the phrasing? Because it's really basic, but I can never get it.
You're thinking.
Yeah, just to tell them, I think
that you're thinking. That
you are thinking this. Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's genius.
But it works at, even in classroom stuff with kids as well.
Right.
I think that you're thinking this. Am I right? No, I'm not thinking. I'm frustrated at this. It's right. A great way of.
Because it's any time I've ever thought that or said it, as soon as it comes out of your mouth, it sounds ridiculous.
Yes. Like when you say what you've been thinking? Yeah.
I think that you think that I'm an idiot because of blah, and you just go, oh, you're not thinking that at all. Sorry. Never mind. Moving on. And that was fantastic. This is just this idea of...
It's just that.
I get in my own head.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, they're thinking this, and then they're probably thinking about this other thing in the past. It's all in your head. And as soon as you verbalize it, oh, I think that you just go, oh, fucking hell.
It's tough to say, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, stupid brain.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough to say. It's tough to just say, well, this is what my brain is doing. But then doesn't that give the other person an understanding of your brain? And again, that's what's tough to do. It's so vulnerable to go, this is my...
Yeah, I'm so self-centered.
Yeah, this is my self-centeredness. This is my... cluelessness. This is my self-absorption. What you're really doing is saying, here is my ego. Because that's what it is. It's like, my ego is thinking this. What's your thoughts on my ego? How often do you do that in your life? Just go, this is my ego.
Who is this ego?
What is this thing? That's not what you've been presenting to the world for your entire life.
Yeah.
So, I was going to say, just how did you stumble upon this?
So that's through the doctor I was seeing at the time. And it was one of the, I mean, I guess it was from a cognitive behavior therapy approach of, practicing better ways of thinking or controlling your breathing, your body, speaking to yourself. So if there's stuff that's going on that you want to change about yourself or it's intrusive thoughts or whatever, that you can speak that back to you. You can have things in place in day-to-day for how to deal with that kind of stuff. And this was just another... This was... I think it was also because of all the stuff that was happening at school at the time as well that I wasn't really communicating with my workmates as much as I do. Yeah. And so even just that talking through that phrase made me go, hang on a tick.
Yeah,
I'm not talking to them because I'm thinking that they're thinking this about me, but it's not.
You know that thought is what we is what we put on teenagers, or what teenagers do, right? And we judge them for it.
Yes.
Is they, I think they all think this about me.
Yeah.
And you, I often say to them, it's, I think the Wallace thing, right? Is no one is thinking about you as much as you think.
That's right.
You know, no one's thinking about you as much as you think about you.
Mm.
But we sort of, I always sort of aim that at like students. But it's everyone. It's everyone.
It's everyone.
When you talk about these thoughts coming in, what does that mean to you?
That was more of an example of anything else. But no, sometimes so
intrusive thoughts.
Yeah, yeah, and it you know, it sometimes will be because I've watched a few horror movies in a row, and then I'll have flashes and like it's quite visual, not text. And like intrusive thoughts, okay, I see them as like visual snapshots.
So what are you talking about? You're gonna have to like sort of. You said you watch a few horror movies.
So if I watch
a few
horror, so usually I'll. I mean, it's the same too because we all share across. Hey, have you seen this film on Netflix? Right, whatever. And then you and Juz, us, having our conversation about weird stuff we watched.
Yeah.
And I'll probably usually I'll watch three or four horror movies in a row, like over three or four nights or five nights, whatever.
Yeah.
And then I won't watch any for a couple of months. But that binging of it is, I love it.
Yeah.
I love the fear that comes with it. I love the weird dreams. But then the consequence is remembering stuff quite vividly while I'm doing everyday things like teaching a class or doing the shopping or whatever.
Right.
And that's...
So how did this doctor help with that? Or was that separate?
It's that whole thing about being able to say, like, this... Don't think about this right now.
Right.
Let's move on to this. We're doing the shopping. We're teaching class. Don't think about that right now. I'm like saying it is. And that helps me.
So, all right, we're doing this activity. Don't think about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Do you say to yourself, think about it later? Like, do you put it aside or?
There's no putting aside.
No. You never come back to it. You just want
it'll just pop up later.
Pop up.
It's ordered in there.
Wow. And it, when you get those, is it really visceral? Like the flashes of it?
Sometimes it is.
How does it... This is a very basic question, but how does it make you feel?
It's very odd. But the nice part is that that association I connect with having a really cool, visceral experience.
Okay.
For example, if it's horror movie-based stuff. Yeah. And so that'll be like... Not now, but... Like I'm feeling this because that film moved me.
Right, like, of course.
You know, that's my trashy horror level. But I love it when a horror film.
That's what horror is.
Yeah.
It's probably the most visceral.
Yeah.
Fear is like deep in there, and so you know that's why they're successful. That's why they'll never stop making horror.
What's the name of this film? The Netflix one that I saw. Keep talking.
That's all right. But that's the thing is like that's why you watch horror more than anything else. It's hard to make a good comedy, but you can get students, you can get anyone to describe to you what's a good horror scene. How would you make a good horror scene? Mm. And they'll probably be generic, but they might still be effective. You know, I think you could get anyone to say, all right, make something scary, and they would tell you how to shoot, how to film it, or how to make it and make it scary. Like I said, it might be generic, it might not be scary, but you'll be able to get it. But if you said, all right, everyone make something funny, it's way too broad.
Yeah, that's true.
Horror is just...
Horror is the...
You can watch, like, how... like
the deep... What is it? The worst, easiest to access.
But it's... And that's why you can watch the same horror movie over and over and over again. Like, it's different. It's a different movie, but it's the same structure.
Mm.
And it might be a little bit different, and you'll still be scared. That's why you can watch a movie that you know is not real and still be scared.
I don't think I, on a second viewing, get scared.
Huh. Okay. Right.
Once I know where everything's happened,
right.
It's all mapped out, and then...
That's a good question. Can you watch a horror movie again? I can. Like, The Shining still freaks... But that's freaked out.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might be right there. You know it's coming, but it's... Huh. Yeah, that's probably
But
right.
The Shining does still invoke dread.
Yeah, but that's a totally different thing.
Yeah.
To being like,
Yeah,
it still evokes horrible dread. Why is that? The Exorcist still does the same, even though I've seen it so many times. That's why when they re-released it.
Look, you're throwing examples in my face to disprove me on air.
Because you can still be scared by it?
Yeah, yeah.
I guess.
So, that's my viewing of that has changed over years as well.
Okay.
From knowing where I, like, just not anti-organized religion and atheist.
Yeah.
And so I'm always surprised at films that have strong...
Yeah, it's the same. Religious the conviction. Omen was the same. It was like, why is this freaking me out
when
I'm not religious in any way, shape, or form? Monsters aren't real. The devil isn't real in my mind, yet it's there, right? Yeah. It's part of our society in a different way.
Yeah.
So you're like, it's not real? So you watch these horror movies and then they pop into your head in these other times.
Yeah.
And then you are able to put them aside.
Yeah, stop. No,
you stops. Say, not now.
Yeah.
We've got to focus on other things. Right. So what was happening before?
I'm sure I used to, like, I remember lying in my room and sitting on couches and at home and reading or staring and being able to, just daydream.
Right. So you're reliving the...
Yeah. But stuff I'm just making up. I mean, I'm sure everyone daydreams. There are times where I'm totally lost, like completely focused on thinking about stuff and don't hear the kids talking to me or I'll be doing three things at once and have be thinking about this stuff at the same time.
Do you wish you could do that more?
No.
Okay.
No, there's nothing about it that makes it seem particularly... Like, if I wanted to tap into it as some way of being creative or something, it doesn't feel like I can grasp it like that.
Right, okay.
Except for talking about it now. This is a very odd conversation.
It is an odd conversation, but I recognise... Or strangely enough, I recognise what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But it doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, right.
And it might have happened more before children and... where I could do that, and I don't know whether I'm thinking that was good, but maybe it wasn't. I don't know. Like, to sit and think these abstract thoughts and get really into them not in a creative way, not in your this will come in handy later, but just I'm gonna see where this road takes me down.
And you even mentioned it at the start of the episode about walking into buildings and if there was a zombie outbreak, what would I do? And I'm in my own little world for a bit. Any new house I go to, I think
scope it out.
Yeah, like that's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
It's so silly. It's so silly.
But it's great.
Yeah, it is. And there was some time at Melba when we were at Melba and Thomas had been born. So I was, because I'd stay up late, I'd stay up to the second feed and I'd play zombie computer games in between. And there was, and I'm sure it was part of sleep deprivation stuff as well, but visualizing things. I do remember being up in our English area.
Yeah.
And that's where they'd come from. And then imagining I was hearing the sound.
Got you.
But I got the exact sound.
I'm with you all the way.
And
that
stuff's fun.
Yeah.
It's weird when it happens, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's just that sometimes it's like,
sometimes you're like, all right, let's do all right, we're getting back to reality here, you know? But creating narratives in your head.
Yeah.
I think I used to do that a lot more in bed before I went to sleep. Now I just go to bed and go to sleep. But I think I used to do that a lot more.
I did used to do that when I used to go to sleep as well.
Just create these weird narratives in your own head.
Yeah.
Choose your own adventure.
I had a really... I still have strong memories of having this repeated... fantasy.
Yeah.
About I don't know, there were four of us who were friends or something at Everett Primary.
Yeah.
And I thought, what if we had billy carts? And the billy carts were like totally enclosed, and then you had a short circuit TV system so you could see outside, and you could drive this billy cart in the rain and so. And I just thinking about the billy cart races and that, and then we didn't get beaten by the rain again because it was all, like, with stupid, useless bits of technology.
Yeah.
Why not have a window? No, you've got to have this little computer screen, and that I would, that would just be playing over and over. Like, and I can't, I don't imagine like that anymore. I miss it. I miss it.
Well, maybe you shouldn't be blocking it out. Anyway, we're getting, I don't know where we've gone in this conversation. I've enjoyed it. I wanted just to, we might finish up with just to thank you for, in all honesty, we don't hang out enough.
Yes, that's true.
And that's just the nature of fucking the world of time and family and all that stuff. But this is why we're friends. This is why we have one brain between us. Is because, and I was thinking about it more and more detail today, probably the best thing that happened all year was the night you were like, come over and we'll watch the latest episode of Atlanta.
Yes.
And we'll have a few beers beforehand,
yeah,
and then we'll watch it. And I was like, okay, let's do that.
Yeah.
And I think it sums up our friendship that we just happened to do that on the night that, if you haven't seen the Teddy Perkins episode of Atlanta, it is batshit insane.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And it's...
And it was the best thing ever to be watching with you.
It was the best thing ever. And it was like... Unlike any episode of the show that far, we always watched it. Always were like, did you see that?
Yep.
And this was just randomly, you were like, come over and we'll watch it together. And we're like, okay. And it just happened to be just completely, easily the best thing that I watched this year. But maybe my favorite viewing thing in the last 5 years.
Yeah, I completely agree.
No idea what was going on. Completely insane.
You mentioned to me while we were watching... Well, maybe afterwards. No, I think while we were watching, you just said something like, I just don't know what's going to happen next.
That like, was from like the first 2 minutes.
Yeah, and the whole thing played out like that.
Yeah.
It was just that structure to that episode.
Yeah.
You just, not a single part of that was predictable.
No. And it was Donald Glover. It was about 5 minutes into the episode, and I was like, I think that's Donald Glover in complete weird makeup. Completely odd looking, weird hair, wearing a robe, weird voice. And then I sat there for a while. And, oh, yeah, it is him. He said one phrase. And
yes.
Like, it is him. It's just, I'll attach a clip to it at the end because it's just fantastic. But that's, I think, just summed up like what happens when we hang out is weird shit like that. It just happened to be perfect timing. And it's not always, we don't get as much time to do it.
No.
But it's always perfect timing.
That was. The more I think about seeing that episode, it's just great.
All right. That's it.
Thank you.
That's 50.
Would you like a glass of water?
Yeah, kind of parched.
Darius would like a glass of water when you have a moment.
Your butler or whatever, they didn't bring the water yet.
Oh, I don't have a butler. I just use this to remember things.
Finish that hat for Dionne Warwick. Wash your hands. Immediately. Darius would like a glass of water when you have a moment.
Right then. Excuse me.
I think I need to have a toilet break.
All right.
But I'm going to keep going.
You going to edit that out?
I'm going to leave it running. You can talk into it, the jinx style. Start talking about what you did.
That'd be silly.
What did I do?
There's nothing that I can think of to say.